Tonight, I wanted to share a word with you guys that is just in line with what God is doing in me, in us, and just bringing us back to a place of prayer. And obviously, it's not too difficult to find a prayer. There's lots of prayers in the Bible, but this one is what I want us to just look at again tonight. And so when I was on holiday, and I think it's nice to be back. Those of you who haven't seen me this morning, it's lovely to be here. My wife and I and the kids had a lovely time in Jongensfontein, where we rested for some 10 days, and you didn't see us for 2 weeks. That's like ages for a pastor to be away from his people, but it was great. So thank you so much for allowing us the time to go. And it was really great for me personally, just to be, you know, in that place of solitude for a while. It takes about 4 days, 5 days for your head just to get silent so that you can hear. And then the last 5 days, it was really amazing. God spoke a lot of things into my heart, and it's kind of like he's bringing many things together. And I've spoken to the elders in our meeting this afternoon, and I've spoken to the leaders on Wednesday. Just some of the things that God is showing me again. And tonight, it's not different. And I'll get to my sermon now. I've had a privilege of, you know, being in, you know, studying in Stellenbosch, and when I was there, one of the things that came together for me again in this time when I was off. Now, there was a lady there, her name was Arita. In that first while, she was ministering into my life a couple of times, you know, just coming back from holiday or whatever. Then she said, "Oh, Tabal, I found you. I had this burden on my neck. It's kind of like something is weighing me down. I just need to say something and give you this word of the Lord." Anyway, and many of them, for me, it was like, hallelujah, that is amazing. That is what God is saying to me, and God has done a lot of amazing things in that time. But then one time she came to me and she said, "Here's a book for you." And the book's name, and I received the book, and I like put it on my shelf, and I'm like, "Woman, you are crazy." That, because she said she feels that this is who I am. You know, part of who I am, there's a lot of stuff, you know, in the vault and what I, but this is part of what God has given me as a mandate. And the book that she gave me was Watchman Nee and Intercessory Prayer. And I'm like, praying, no ways. I'll go and speak to the nations and get people saved. Hallelujah, that I can do. But this praying thing, sitting in a place, no, I'm not going to do that. And I thought that she was like, you know, she missed God there. And then as time went by, as we got here to Malmesbury, and the Lord said in Psalm 144 verse 1, he said, "I'm going to train your hands for war and your fingers for battle." You know, that's not a physical battle, by the way. So, I haven't taken the bazooka out there yet. But it was just God preparing me and Danelle, you know, for a season that he put us through where we needed to learn how to intercede and do warfare, man. And God did that, and it was amazing. So, long story that I'm telling you guys is, God is bringing a lot of the things that happened in my past back to me again, saying, "Deval, you see the bigger picture now?" And one of them is prayer. And I wasn't going to single him out, but I am. There's one of my friends here tonight, first time that he's with us, and he was part of that journey. Way back when most of you didn't know me, he knew me. And he was fighting with us, and you know, what happened there was, it was the first time that I experienced unity among brethren from different cultures, from different churches, doing one thing that God has said we must do to break down strongholds. And I have never in my life before then, I've experienced some of it again after that, but experienced such a powerful thing that God has done through prayer. I was sitting there after the, you know, we did a lot of weird things then, as God always let us do when we follow him. And as we came together, I remembered, we prayed there in the hall where we get together. And as I was standing there, I was remembering, just as I was standing, I knew that there is now nothing that can stand between us and whatever God wants to do right now. I felt like, you know, David said, with my God, I can scale a wall. And my name is Deval, the wall. But I was feeling in that moment, you know what? We can run through this wall, man. Like physically. And I was in such a place. So from there on, and I just wanted to say, so it's coming together even with physical people, coming back into my life from the things that God has done 10, 12 years ago. So tonight I want to quickly share with you just regarding the Lord's Prayer. And I know you know it, you know. We can start to say it now and every one of us will be able to recite it, even if you're not in church, even if you're not a believer. You know, many people will know the Lord's Prayer because it gets quoted so often and in many places. But I want us to read there together. It's in Matthew 6, verse 9 to 13. You guys can follow if you've got your Bibles here. Or you can just follow there on the board. I think I put it there. Yes. Yeah, we're just going to go through the scripture with... And it says, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. So, the first thing that I want us to see, you know, when Jesus comes and says, listen, when you pray, pray like this. The first thing that he says, it's our Father. And this is a great shift for us, especially in the West, to make. To come away from this individualistic, me, myself, I, and my family type of thing, to our Father. It's us. It's all of us together coming to our Father. Welcome, Benjamin. And in that place of being together, you know what? When we are together, God commands, and it's not just now a heart thing, our Father. God commands a blessing there. And our Father is just the place where Jesus begins and says, listen, when you guys pray, remember this. Remember that you are not alone in this. It's not an individualistic one-man show deal, this. It's our Father. When you pray, pray like this. Our Father in heaven. And then we go on to the next point. Hallowed be your name. So, when Jesus says the first thing in the Lord's Prayer, apart from our Father, is then you pray, God, hallowed be your name. Now that's like a big English word that most of us don't really know. What does hallowed mean? Sounds like Sleepy Hollow, some horror movie or that. No. Hallowed be your name. It's, you know, to set apart, to make your name great, to make much of God's name is what Jesus is saying here. So practically, what does it mean for us? What does it mean when you and I start to get from a place where we're praying our Father, yes, all together, or just as a mindset, hallowed be your name. It's when you move from that place where in your heart, God and His name is above everything in your life. And you know that, listen, when I'm unsaved, okay, so most people start there, all of us. When I'm unsaved, then it's all about me. Me and what I want to do. And then Jesus says, when you pray, do this. Say, God, hallowed be your name. So make much of your name. Where? Everywhere. In my surroundings. But the first place is, let it be made much of in you, your and in my heart. You know how you can see that your prayers or your life is growing in maturity. You can see that when you listen to people pray. It's a good measurement to put in place to see the maturity of people, you know, over time as to how they are praying. What are you praying for? What are the things that are in your heart hallowed above? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Come to that place where God's name and His kingdom and all of His things are sanctified and above everything else. And you can hear that in how you pray. So now, I'm going to no condemnation. It's just every one of us grows. When you pray from a place of, God, help me in this, help me in that, that's fine. Give me this, God, I need this. It's okay. But move from that place to a place where your heart becomes like the Father's heart. Our Father, hallowed be your name. And then the third thing that Jesus says, He says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So, it's weird for me. You know, when we pray this prayer and we look at this prayer, then even unbelievers or people that don't really know, you know what this is here? It's warfare. Even me, silly me, just wanting to go out and save all the people. Praying the Lord's Prayer, the third thing that Christ says, you pray this, your kingdom come, your will be done, where? On earth, here I am, as it is in heaven. So, you cannot pray this prayer without doing warfare. For if one kingdom comes, another must give way. Yay, at least one person is awake tonight. If one kingdom comes, another must give way. And Christ says, listen, you know, apart from our Father and hallowed be His name, you know, say this. Go and find out what is happening in heaven. You know what? Something that is one of those beautiful things about Jesus that we can see. He says to the people many times, He says, I only do what? I only do that which I see the Father do. And I mean, that's a loaded thing, and it's. But I'll show you something that my wife has showed me just now to bring into that. But when you say, God, let your kingdom come and your will be done, then you must find out what that is. We've got a whole Bible. Where's the Bible? Yeah. You've got a whole Bible where you can find out the will of God. But then when you say, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth, here where I am, as it is in heaven. There's a place where, you know, God is the master strategist. He is absolutely phenomenal, amazing. When it comes to Him, you know, this is only God can use a fallen human being like me and us to make His perfect plans come to pass with Satan and all his demons trying to hinder that. That is awesome that God can do that regardless of us and giving us a free will to choose. I'm like, God, you are truly God to use all that to make your kingdom come. And all of our flaws and all of our stuff and issues and, you know, iniquities and all of those things are factored in by God. And He says in Romans 8:28, He will make all things work together for the good of those who love Him. Everything works together for the plan of God to come to pass. But I want to show you what my dear wife just alerted me on before I started to preach. It says here in Mark 1, I want you guys to just follow on what Jesus did and what this, your kingdom come, you know, on earth as it is in heaven. What does that practically look like? Especially in today's times. I'll just skip through a lot of the things that happen here. But Jesus is busy doing His ministry. Now, after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Okay, so He's doing this kingdom come, your will be done thing. And then verse 15, it says, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Okay, so then He goes by the sea and He starts to call His disciples. He's calling the disciples and said, listen, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And they immediately, you know, this is what makes Mark so great. It's like every time something happens, it's like, and immediately, and suddenly. And they were there. It was like, it's a high-intensity book, man, when you read it. So, and immediately they followed him. And then when they went a little bit further, found another couple of guys and they called them. And then, now there was a man in the synagogue with an unclean spirit. And he cried out and saying, let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? I know that you are the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, be quiet and come out of him. And then the unclean spirit came out of him after he convulsed him. And with a loud voice, he came out. And then this starts to happen. Verse 27 says, and they were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, what is this? What new doctrine is this? For with what authority he commands the unclean spirits, and they obey him. And immediately his fame spread throughout all the region of Galilee. Okay, so now Jesus, not different than from today. There's only word of mouth. WhatsApp and Twitter and all the social media and Facebook's not there. But it still happens. Because the fame of Jesus is spreading throughout all the region. All of Galilee now knows, listen, there's a demon casting, healing, super prophet that's walking around doing the rounds. And everybody wanted to be in on that. So Jesus does all of these things, heals the sick. And now in the morning, after that day of, you know, calling the disciples and healing people and casting out demons, we see the next day, and Simon and those who were with him searched for him. In the morning, having risen a long while before daylight. Now, whenever the Bible says a long while before daylight, or something like God making everything, looking at everything that is made, and he says it is good. So a long while before daylight was most probably 4 o'clock in the morning, like JP got out this morning. Because of some people in church. Hallelujah. Somebody sent him a WhatsApp and said they're not going to be able to make it, and then he got up from where he was to get here. 4 o'clock this morning, and they were just joking with him. I want to kick some people's. Anyway, but he was here, hallelujah, for people with a sense of responsibility. Thanks, Jean-Pierre, for being here. It's awesome. Don't fall asleep, okay? I can see you're pulling the amps now. All right, so, but he said to them, okay, so Jesus, a long day before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place. And there, he did what? He prayed. Why prayer? So this is a good, before we get to the Lord's Prayer and doing that further, why? Jesus knew that he needed to pray because he needed to do that thing. Your will be done, Father, in heaven, or on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus needed to hear, God, what is your will? Because Superman Jesus, excuse the roughness of that statement, but he's here. And everybody knew it. Everybody could see it. And Jesus could easily have said, I'm God anyway. I'll just continue to do what I do. And I do it quite well. But he didn't do that. He went and he prayed. And then they searched for him. And then this happens. Simon and Peter, those who were with him, searched for him. And when they found him, they said to him, Jesus, everyone is looking for you. Why? Because of his fame? Because of all the issues that the people have got? Because of all the healings that they want to happen in their lives? And all of those things. You know what Jesus does? But he said to them, let us go into the next towns, that I must preach to you there also, because for this purpose I have come forth. That is awesome. After doing all of those wonderful things, Christ gets up early in the morning and he goes and he prays. Why? So that he can know, what is the will of my Father? And when they came with this wonderful news, the people are looking for you. Everybody's looking for you. Come and do the stuff so that your kingdom can come. He says to them, no. We're not doing that today. We're going to those towns to preach the kingdom there. Because for this purpose, I came into this world. And Jesus knew what he was there for, and he knew what he had to do, and he got that in prayer with his Father. All right, so just regarding your kingdom come, your will be done, it's warfare, but we need to know what the will of God is. And that's why we need to pray and fast. Hallelujah. Fasting is lekker. But sometimes it's tough. But we need to do that so that we can know what the will of God is. And then the next one is, give us this day our daily bread. What is amazing about that is you need what bread? Come on, people, read it. Daily bread. Some of us, we like weekly bread sometimes. And some others of us, we like on monthly bread. And then you get to those people and in the spirit, they look like anorexics. And they're like, what happened to us? Hey, you must eat, man, when? Every day. Get your daily bread. Where? In prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. I'm doing it spiritually. That's just most probably physical bread as well. Could be. But it's a thing that you need to do daily. And you know what? You don't have to have a formula for that. You can. And you know what I found? If you have the formula for that or the discipline for that, it happens more regularly than not having a discipline for that. If you plan for something, it will happen, people. That is what I found out on 30-something years of age. If something is not happening in your life, diarize it. Get a spot for it in your diary. You do it with everything else. Why not do it with daily bread? Figuring out when and where works best for you. And doing that thing daily. God, here I am. What do you want me to hear today? And that is the point. What do you want me to hear today? Some of us, we go daily bread for God. God, this is what I need, this is what I need, this is what I need. And sit there, listen. Then the next one is, forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Now, when you go and read all the translations, then you get a different word for debts. You get either sins, or then another word that you get is trespasses. You know, living in the old times was like tough, man. We think it was so. William Tinsdale, his legacy. The reason that we have got the word trespasses in there is because he translated it from that place in the Hebrew and the Greek, and he was not very popular for that. And the way in which he translated the New Testament from those languages, you know what it got him? Killed. Because he decided, not just these words, it's a broader work, but anyway. So he said, listen, that word for forgive us our debts, debts is fine, or sins is even fine, but when you just go on the verses following the Lord's Prayer, where Jesus starts to expound on the Lord's Prayer, I'm not going to do that tonight, I'm doing it anyway, but when he starts to expound on it, he says, you need to forgive those who what against you? Trespass against you. As I have forgiven you your trespasses against me. Okay, so then you can see, listen, he had something there when he said, it's supposed to be trespasses. Now, it helps us in the Western world to see that, because when we see forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors, you know, that's a tough thing in today's economy. Because I build this big business and then I borrow a lot of money to do my business, and then the business goes down, man, and I've got a lot of what? Debt. And then how do you get out of that debt if you're not a godly person? You can't borrow more money. You're in debt. You? Follow up. Okay? Any business people in the house? You liquidate yourself. Hallelujah. Patrick, thank you. You liquidate. It's kind of like, yeah, I've got no money to pay you. Take me to court. I've got nothing anyway. And then you get liquidated, and after a while, you are fine. So just for our cultural norm, it's in a Western capitalistic system, debts are like, it's easily written off, man. I've written off your debt. But when you take the other word, just in our system, trespassing is a lot more severe. When you have trespassed on a place where you are not supposed to be, guess what? There you can get killed. If you go and trespass and you want to steal some money from Fort Knox or somewhere to pay your debt. But if you trespass in that place and you start running around there wanting to take stuff that's not yours, you might die. So trespassing is just a way better word. We have trespassed God's law, and the person that we have trespassed against is infinitely holy. So the debt that we have because of this trespassing is something obviously that we cannot pay ever. But it helps us to say, you know what, Deval? You trespassed my law. You trespassed into my territory. You wanted to be like me, like God. You wanted to be proud and boastful, and now you've trespassed into this holy place. And you know what it costs you? Your life. You die because you trespassed into that vicinity. And then from that place, Jesus says, listen, when you pray, pray it in this way. Forgive us our trespasses. But then the other one, as we also have forgiven those who trespass against us. And that is, I've said it a lot of times, you know, you don't hear many sermons of that. Other place, Jesus says, if you do not forgive your brother from your heart, my heavenly Father will also not forgive you. And this is this trespassing thing. You know, it's easy where you say, yeah, you sinned against me. But if somebody has trespassed against you, that word trespass, another great word for that is violate. You have violated God's law. You've gone over that mark, that barrier. If somebody has violated you, okay, so let's get a little bit more graphic. When somebody comes and violates your wife, and in such a way then trespass against you as a man, what happens in your heart? Then forgiving somebody his, let's keep it in that vein, his trespass against you for violating your wife. And that is a whole different meaning than just forgiving somebody their sins. In us now, it's not a different meaning in the scriptures because that's where it's at, but it's just for us to understand what it means. Forgive those who trespass against us as God has forgiven us for trespassing against him. Okay, so I'll leave that one there for now. And then the last one is says there, and forgive us and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. So how does this work? You know, how does, and there's a lot of things that you guys can go and there's, you know, other angles on this is one. I've just taken one angle that I found regarding this. And Jesus says, listen, Father, or we pray like this and say, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. So how does God deliver us from evil? Okay, so let me get you guys. How does God deliver you from evil? Gooi met de titel. Give me something. Yes, David. Discipline? Wonderful. renewed mind, I'll hold up this one. To His Word. God delivers us from evil when we start to read His Word and make it part of our lives. Then you and I, as we follow God's precepts and, you know, that bringing us to that place, you know, this is God's barrier through His Word that is given us with forgiveness in Christ, obviously. And when we know this, when we understand this, then God delivers us from evil. If we are willing to listen, obviously. So, that is one thing that, the thing that keeps us from evil, if we do that properly. Revelation 12:9 says, "And the great dragon that was thrown down, that ancient serpent who is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world." Satan wants to deceive us. That's all that he wants. He lies to us, because the next verse, John 8:44 says, "When he lies, he speaks out of his own nature." So, he is a liar, like Uncle Angus always says. The devil is a liar. Because that's what he is. That's his nature. And Jesus asked the Father to deliver us in that place. John 17:15. Just a little bit more context regarding this that I've just shared now. "I do not ask that you take them out of the world." Jesus now again praying for us to his Father. In John 17, he said, "I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one." Again, deliver us from evil. Jesus says, "Father, don't take them out of the world, but keep them from the evil one who wants to lie and to deceive." And how do you do that? You keep it when you have the Word of God in your heart. Okay, so then, saying that, you know, deliver us from evil. He says, "Sanctify us by your word." It says there in verse 17, going on from John. "Sanctify them in truth, and your word is the truth." So that's where deliver us from evil and being sanctified by the word comes from. So that place, sanctify, means full, make us full. You know, when you are sanctified, you are like full of God's holiness, whatever. And that happens through the word of God. So now I'm just going to finish with giving you guys three quick points on just how God delivers us from evil and from temptation in that way, practically, that you guys can take home. And then you can pray the Lord's Prayer with a little bit of a different angle this week when it comes. So the first one is how can God deliver us from evil and temptation? In Hebrews 3:13, it says, "Exhort one another every day, as long as it is called day, that none of you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin." So one way of being delivered from evil and from temptation is, how did we begin? Our Father. So Christ brings it in that place, and the writer of Hebrews says, listen, this is one way of being delivered from evil, is exhort one another every day so that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Come to one another, speak with one another, be in a place where there's people that exhort you, that says what he sees in your life. An exhortation, a word of exhortation can change your life, can change your heart, so that you not be hardened in your heart by what? The devil was a liar and a deceiver, the deceitfulness of sin. Okay, so that's the first one. That's how you stay away from that. The second one, in Ephesians 4:22, we see Paul writing, and he says, "Put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life, which is corrupt through what? Through your deceitful desires." Okay? So we are full of desires when we are in the world. God gets us there. Those desires are evil. It gets us into temptation. It gets us into sin. And to be delivered of that evil and temptation, God says to put off your own self. Don't think that you can do things and you can stay the same. You can do things for God and stay the same and not change. You need to physically put off your own self. Because you know what? We want to sin. We want to go into that place because it's nice. Nobody sins because they don't like it. Okay? Even though it's wrong. You need to put yourself last. You must put off the old man. Put off your own self. your old self, and then you must turn to God and ask Him to change your heart. And then the last one, number three, and then I'll pray for us tonight. 1 Peter 1:14 says, as obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. So he says, those evil desires of you, the old man, and your passions, those are the things that you need to turn away from so that God can protect you from evil. Through what? Through His Word. Get this Word inside of you. Read it. Let it become part of who you are. Memorize Scripture. Know what the will of God is. And then, as we pray the Lord's Prayer, doing all the warfare and the wonderful things that are in there, let's remember that in this time, that God is bringing us back to a place, well, at least for Deval, bringing me back to a place where He's saying, hey, do you know what my will is? And not just, you know, we love to know what the will is of God for us and for our lives. But remember, our Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. When we start to pray in that place, think, God, when I look at my surroundings, when I look at the people that are around me and my community, God, your will is not happening here. When you sit there and you see all of the destruction around you, and you pray the Lord's Prayer and you say, God, your will be done here on earth, here in this place. And sometimes it's as easy as looking around you, seeing that the people here do not have running water. And then deciding, saying, God, this is stirring my heart that the people are drinking filthy water. Or those who want to walk for clean water is like 50 miles away. It's all exaggerated. But coming to that place, say, God, this is not your will. How does your will look for my community? And this is one thing that I've seen. And God can use you and show you His will and put His strategic plan together as you pray, as you seek, as you go. Not for you. It's not for me that I do those things which God is laying on my heart to do. I'm laying myself aside, not thinking of me, myself, and I, seeing there's a world out here that needs Christ. And we need to get into that place where the Father can speak into our hearts and whisper and know that, you know, don't do that. It looks nice. I know it's nice, Deval, but it's not for you now. This is where you must be. Okay, God, I'll leave the nice stuff and I'll follow and do what you say. And that's where we can see that we are getting into a mature state of mind when it comes to praying and asking God for His will. Let's stand together tonight.